Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 276.
276?
The Wonder Woman episode. I appreciate Josh getting all dressed up, looking good.
This is real whalebone.
Big fan of the skirt.
Yeah, it doesn't show too much, so that's good.
Just enough.
It's tasteful.
Yeah, there you go. That's the perfect word.
Underwork today.
Perfect word. So, small crew this week, not intimate, but I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Pat,
Josh. I wasn't sure if I should go or not. I couldn't remember what order we normally go in.
Yeah. Well, you're in the wrong spot. Yeah. It's all very confusing. People are going to hear you in the wrong ear now.
I thought maybe not because you
I need to get up in case anybody comes in. Because Tim's not here. Adam's not here. Dave's not here.
Tim's getting his Bono on.
He is. He's on the edge. Yes.
He's on the edge?
Well, he's at the U2 concert. So.
I knew where you were yelling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seeing the edge? That doesn't make sense.
Okay.
I know you're trying to be surreptitious there. It didn't quite work. If the cough drops out. Though we do appreciate that. We appreciate the non-coughing. So, Pat?
Yes?
Well, I guess let me talk a little bit. Just what's going on at the store. We got the book club. I have more of the book club book, the Wonder Woman Volume 2, coming in on Thursday, if you need it.
I didn't see a Facebook event for that yet.
Did I not do that one? Okay. Really?
I don't think so. I'll double check.
Okay. I might not have, because I know I did one for the pre-release.
You did one for the pre-release, and then you sponsored it, and then you emailed me.
Just to show you.
Show me you sponsored it.
Well, not really. That was the email from them. I just forwarded the email of them saying that it was approved. And then, so next Tuesday, we're doing a midnight release for Dark Days the Forge, where you can come down, get that book, which is the start of the big Batman Dark Multiverse story written by Snyder and Tinian, with art by Jim Lee and Kubert and JRJR. We're going to do a special Batman sale from 11 to 12, and I'll have more details on that when I figure them out. And then at midnight, you can buy Dark Days the Forge and all the DC books. I haven't heard anything from any of the other publishers yet, so I don't know.
You did not make an event for Book Club.
For Book Club, okay, I will do that. Josh was kind enough to point out that I totally forgot that I'm going to a concert Tuesday night, so, yeah, we'll figure it out. Two things
the
same day.
The door's unlocked when you leave at 7 o'clock.
Well, I'll be leaving before the concert starts at 7 o'clock, so. So that's what we have going on this month at the store, and it's double points on Wonder Woman all month in honor of the Wonder Woman movie that people seem to be liking.
Yeah.
So,
very good.
I'm sure we will talk about that later. But first, is there any news at all, Pat?
Not really.
No.
Oh, I do have another comment, though.
Okay.
About something you posted earlier this morning. If there's a book and you want it, you need to tell Colin ahead of time, or don't be pissed when he doesn't have it. That is unfair.
Yeah, that was a text, actually.
But I don't care what it was.
No, yeah.
The point being...
No, I had somebody that missed getting a book and doesn't have it on their list or anything and was mad at me for not having enough copies. I'm like, I do the best I can.
Previews is free. You put up usually the Thursday or the Friday before
what
book's coming out. It's not that hard to call, email, text, whatever, and say, hey, can you throw one of these in my folder? It really isn't. So you can't be pissed when you don't get what you want, when you don't uphold your end of it.
Yeah.
I don't have to be as nice as Colin about it.
So, but it was funny. We were just kind of talking here a little bit. Like, I know I used to go, like, to CBR and see what the news was. They always had top things. It got a little heavy with the entertainment part, with TV show castings and things like that I don't really care about. But I can honestly say I can't remember the last time I even went to that site, because everything I see is top 15. I don't care. Yeah. Top 15 Wolverine costumes. It's like, so I pretty much don't go to any websites for comic news. Comic Book Resource, I used to go to all the time. Yeah. And then the pop-up ads are annoying as can be. Bleeding Cool, every once in a while.
But there, once you get football news and wrestling news, it's everything but comic books.
But once you hit a Jude Terror article that has a completely misleading clickbait headline, you just kind of get turned off that.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that when I changed how I did the email, I used to go to Comic Book Resources and Newsarama and a bunch of other sites to try to get the previews to link to in the email. And then once I stopped doing that, I really stopped going to them. So I definitely don't see much news. I get the, you know, the stuff from the different publishers, like on Facebook and things, but most of that's just, you know, hype.
Yeah. It's also close enough to Comic-Con. I think a lot of publishers are keeping things under wraps.
Right, right. I know one of the things, like DC said, that there's going to be a lot more information about the Doomsday Clock at San Diego.
Oh, that's good.
I have a feeling we'll probably get more information about whatever Marvel has going on at San Diego, or like they've done lately, the week before San Diego, which makes no sense. But
I'd actually be really pissed if I spent all that money to go to San Diego for that, because let's be honest, people don't go there for the comic book; they go there for the other stuff. So you know, if you're not. If you're going there for that and they give it out for free the week before,
right.
I'd be a little upset about that.
Yeah. If you're spending that money, you're going for more than just that.
Right, though. Right. It's just, you know, that's where you expect the news to come out of. So, right. Who knows? They do what they
going
want.
Going for all the swag.
Swag.
Yeah.
That's why.
Cosplay.
Yeah, creators. That didn't work out last time. Okay.
What?
No, when I went... My cosplay costume didn't work out. Yeah.
It's 2017 now. You can dress as whatever you want.
Because that was 2015, and you can't.
Well, I mean...
It's a different... It's a whole
I will
world.
Say, you don't look like Sailor Moon, but, I mean, if you're into that, that's fine.
Yeah.
Don't know who that is. But, yeah, so news is kind of funny. It's like I really don't know, you know, other than, you know, the big stuff, like... And there's, you know, the hot books, and it's weird, last week I really pissed off one of the flippers that had been coming here for a while. Flippers are the people who buy they wait to see what the hot books are and then come to buy them to flip onto eBay right away and make money. And this week, you know, there were a couple hot books. Couple books I thought were going to be hot, like Batman and Baby Teeth. And really very little movement, but I really didn't have any of those guys in this week, the guys that come in to buy them to flip. So if I pissed them all off, I feel really bad. I mean, I was happy to get their money, but I'm also, you know, it was annoying when, like, Grass Kings, I sold through 20 Grass Kings number one, and then number two came out and I sold three. You know, that sucks.
But that's, you know, you should be happy to... let them not come in.
Yeah.
At least that way your numbers are true between
those two. Right, which makes it harder, especially when you buy non-returnable. It's like, you have to, you know, you're guessing on your numbers.
All your Boom stuff's returnable, though, right?
No, not anymore. Mm. They changed that.
Oh, okay.
I feel bad. I honestly don't know what the program is right now, so.
You're still an innovator, right?
Yes.
Doesn't sound like it. Jeez.
Yeah.
No, they changed the program, and then it's taken, like, 4 months to make the changeover, and... I think, well, not that long. They announced it at Comics Pro in February. Yeah, so four months. And we just got the little standee, came in Saturday, so I haven't put it up yet. It's just another dump, just like the image one.
Oh, to hold the books?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got to look and see exactly what's going on, because it used to be really easy. You just had to order 10 of every issue, 1 through 4, but now it's, like, specific ones, and...
How does Boom do here?
It does okay. It depends on the book. They do a lot of licensed stuff that I tend not to do that well. Like, I noticed, I just went through the April previews for the stuff coming out this month, and I was looking through their stuff, and, like, there was a Bill and Ted Save the Universe. I couldn't sell a Bill and Ted book to save my life. A lot of those didn't do well.
The movie is, like... 25 years
right, well, and like the Escape from New York didn't do that great. The Big Trouble in Little Big Trouble in Little China didn't do anything, but like Giant Days does well, Lumberjanes does well. So it does, yeah, it varies. It's really kind of all over the place. It's really hard to tell.
Klaus is Boom.
Yeah.
Is that coming back for another?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about
it. They did the 6 issue, and then he did a one shot.
Yeah.
We'll probably find something later so that, you know, shipping Christmas time. If they're, you know, if they're going to do it, that's what I would recommend. So, yeah, just kind of a weirdish day just in that sense. Not the, there wasn't a big clamoring for a couple books that I thought there would have been. No biggie. I'm sure they'll sell over time. Or I'll flip them. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I did hear or see somewhere that Baby Teeth was considered a hot book.
Yeah, but I at one point I looked and I'd sold like 4 out of 20. So, but I'll make all the money. I'll look that up. As Pat talks about all the not news.
Baby Teeth done by? Was that Aftershock?
Yeah.
Okay. Aftershock has come up with some interesting concepts for books.
I haven't read any of their stuff.
You're not reading Rough Riders. Mm-hmm. What about Insects? Is that
Aftershock? Rough Riders?
Yeah.
No. Insects. I'm not reading. I think I looked at the first issue.
I read the first one. That was something.
It was like, weird. Yeah, I'll pass. It's not for me.
No, Baby Teeth really isn't doing anything.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, let's see if Batman 24 is doing anything.
The name Baby Teeth.
Yeah.
Is for some reason I find it really creepy.
Yeah.
Like it's not a. It's not a, you know, creepy phrase or word.
But somehow itself, knowing just, kind of the concept behind yeah. it, it's yeah. Baby mm-hmm. Satan just doesn't have the ring, but you call it Baby Teeth and all of a sudden mm-hmm. it has.
Yeah.
What?
No, somebody sold a copy of Batman for $2. I'm like, I'm going to say you didn't mean to do that.
Huh?
But yeah, here, like one of each cover is 20. The variant's selling. But yeah, that's just kind of funny. Somebody sold a copy of Batman 24 for $2.
On like, eBay?
Yeah. It's like.
I didn't start buying my books on eBay.
Did you mean to do that?
Was it that DCBS or whatever it is?
Hmm. Three Skeletons, Comics, and Games. Yeah, that seems to be like a losing proposition there, bud.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Where are they located?
I don't know.
You price match, right?
No. Oh. Why would I? I did have a guy who would come in and look at trades and ask if I'd price match Amazon. I'm like, why not? I'm like,
because you'd lose money.
Why would I? Go get it on Amazon. Yeah. That was one thing. It was interesting on the news this morning about the Apple coming out with their HomePod or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's so much more than Amazon. They're like, well, the difference is Apple sells stuff to make money. Amazon doesn't. Amazon sells their stuff at cost. You then use that to buy more stuff.
Which is a good strategy.
Right, but that's why the price difference. So.
But the
it doesn't benefit Apple to sell it at cost.
Apple tries to have it both ways because they want to charge you a premium for the device, but also get you to buy into their services as well.
I think just different services, though, where you can go, you know, hey, Amazon.
Aside from shopping,
right?
Like they're still buying the music, buying, you know.
Right, but yeah. On Amazon, you know, Alexa, order me the new Stephen King book, you know, or whatever. I don't have any of them, so.
I don't like that. I mean, the whole thing is it's listening in all the time. It's mm-hmm. kind of creepy.
Yeah.
We have one Echo Dot in our house.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the smaller one. Yeah, guy.
I heard it didn't, the sound quality.
It's not bad. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. If you're in the room or one room over, it's not bad. But it was neat for the first couple weeks. Then after that, we hardly ever use it. And every once in a while, it'll mishear what we say and think that we are
talking to it,
and it chimes in and gets really annoying.
What? No, shut up.
When Amazon...
It gets jealous of Debbie.
When Amazon...
but Josh, you said...
...made it so you could use computer as a code word to, like, harken back to Star Trek. A friend of mine at work was super pumped about this. It was like, oh, I'm going to change it. It's going to be great. It's like, aren't you worried that you're going to end up activating it more often than you mean to? He's like, I live at home by myself. How often am I saying the word computer? But watching TV, how often they like the word computer comes up?
Yeah. Maybe you should have to say it in a Scottish accent.
Yeah. Hello, computer.
And you pick up the mouse and try to talk to that. Yeah. I guess we'll do it the old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm. You okay there, Chief?
Hooper drives the boat, Chief.
Okay.
Well, you're no Quint. But none of us are.
No. No. I just love that line, though.
The only bit of news that I saw was actually about Wonder Woman.
Da-na-na-na. Sorry.
See, you even put that on your phone. And
I didn't put it on my phone. It's on. I have the.
The soundtrack?
No. Well, this is the soundtrack on Amazon Music. That's all.
Does it, yeah, you bought the soundtrack. That's
I didn't buy it. It's just there.
This is given to me. But it was.
Isn't it called a score if there's if it's all just instrumental?
I believe so.
I never understood why. Why does soundtrack imply vocal music?
Or is a soundtrack more like commercially available songs where a score is just kind of like what's in the very background? Or I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't go to film school.
Stop it. You're about to
yeah, you're about to hit that. You have to pay for it.
You are a store, so they can smack you.
That was Colin's favorite part of the movie, by the way.
No, I didn't. But I didn't.
Colin makes Tim and Adam play that whenever he walks in the store from now on.
Mm-hmm. He still has some of the bands from Saturday. Like he does this.
He like pops in and he's like, I'm coming in now. Start it up.
It's his theme music.
No. So I burst through the door. No.
But jumps through the door, spins around.
Nice. But it was the number one female directed movie ever. Made a little more than $103 million in the opening weekend, which.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, you know, for especially on DC's track record.
I don't see it having a big drop-off second week. I think there's going to be a lot of repeat viewings.
Yeah, they already said it's going to beat the Mummy.
To beat Mummy.
Yeah.
I saw today that while Gal Gadot is optioned for a second movie because of her appearances, that Patty Jenkins was not signed on for a second movie yet.
Right, and they had originally said, or a lot of places had reported, that she was, and then apparently she isn't. Although,
which means she's going to be able to command a much higher salary after this.
Yeah, but even then.
But good for her. Like, it was a great movie. She did a great job.
So I guess we'll just talk about that now.
So if you haven't seen the movie, spoilers, we're about to talk about Wonder Woman the movie.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's been a week. It's really
good.
What's your problem?
Yeah, it's much better than listening to us, so stop this, go see the movie, then come back.
Yeah.
If only Adam was here. He would add really that key part to make you not want to miss us talking.
Yeah, but without him,
it's just not the same.
Yeah, but no, I really liked it.
Which is shocking.
It's not shocking.
No, you liking a movie is shocking.
No, it's
not. He liked it
because
there's no one in front of him using their phone.
Yeah, there wasn't that. No, I had two little quibbles, but overall I thought it was really, really good.
I had a few quibbles and mine were super minor.
Yeah.
And one was the CGI in a couple spots.
That was my problem. It was in the courtyard scene
where she's fighting with the lasso,
right? And it wasn't the lasso per se; it was the people that was holding. They were just a little.
It looked very video game.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I agree with that. I had, and so I liked all the members of Steve's crew, Sammy and Chief, and
Charlie.
And Charlie. I just felt too much like the Howling Commandos and Cap. And it was. There's going to be parallels. One's in World War I, one's in World War II. Their costumes are similar enough.
Both her moms named Martha. Oh, wait, sorry.
Wrong movie.
It did feel very much like them, but one thing they did do well, like, they, with that group, they managed to, like, spotlight a lot of different issues.
Yes.
Like, they managed to spotlight, you know, Charlie with PTSD, was it one, you said Sam?
Sammy.
Like, him where, you know, talking about how he wanted to be, you know, an actor, but wrong color skin.
Yeah.
People were very happy with, like, how Chief was portrayed.
Yeah.
And I guess the actor even said some things that, like, were in, I can't remember the actual language now, but it all, like, worked out, like, you know.
Okay.
The way it was supposed to. Like, it was all, like, researched in and was appropriate, like, the language he spoke, and he picked his attire and everything, and it...
Yeah.
They did a good job of showcasing, you know, all of them and their different issues or, you know, traits.
And my last issue, again, super minor, was Ares. David Thewlis is a great actor. No problem with him as Sir Patrick. My problem was the minute he became...
Sir Patrick?
David Thewlis?
Yeah.
Lupin from Harry Potter.
I don't know who that is.
No. You've never seen the Harry Potter movie?
How many times are we going to go through this, Pat? No, I've not seen...
Oh, I thought... Okay. The actor to play Sir Patrick.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The guy that became Ares.
He was Lupin in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Anyway. And I thought you had seen it, but whatever.
Well, I saw the first Harry Potter movie.
Yeah, he wasn't in the... I think he's third one.
I saw the first one, and I saw the first... I saw the boring half of Deathly Hallows... That ended just as it was started getting interesting.
Yes. He wasn't that.
So that was a big 2-hour cock tease right there.
Yeah. He wasn't that one, though. But anyway.
What? It was. I'm sitting there for 2 hours. My brother wanted to go see it. And sitting there for 2 hours. Nothing is happening in that movie. Finally, it's getting interesting. It's credits. See you next year.
You didn't see the second half?
No. F that noise.
He didn't look right. One, like, I was okay up in, like, his reveal where he talked to Diana.
Yeah.
Well, I'd figured out it was him long before that, but the reveal where he talked to Diana, I was fine. As soon as his armor went on, the physical build of the actor was not intimidating enough.
Super disagree with you.
Really?
Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chang's Wonder Woman run, New 52, he was very much like Ares in that. Less
okay.
like this big hulking Adonis, like warrior Adonis character,
and that's what I'm picturing in my head as Ares.
More of like the, you know, older kind of grizzled, you know, because he doesn't have to be this big hulking guy. It's just what
yeah,
he represents.
I get that.
You know,
I get that. And I, you know, as Sir Patrick, I think it worked because he's unassuming, he's blending in, he's causing havoc behind the scenes. But once he put that armor on, I wanted him to be this big jack dude that was
that
embody the God of War.
The actor is super effing creepy because he is in Fargo right now, the season 3 of Fargo, and he's like the big bad, I guess, in the
okay.
season. And he is creepy as shit in that show.
Okay.
When I saw him in this, I like at first thought, oh, he has to be a bad guy. Because that's all I know him as.
Well, that was the thing when they had Stryker as the German general. You know, that's automatically where you go, okay, he has to be Ares.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they had the meeting in the bar, and Sir Patrick said, you can use my office, and Tomorrow said, he's Ares. He had to be.
I didn't think he was Ares, but I thought he was playing both sides. When he said they could use his office, I thought he wants to keep an eye on them because he is somehow involved with the Germans. But I didn't think it was Ares. I did buy in to the general being Ares, especially like with the gas glowy face. And she said, when she gave it to him, she said, return some of your power. Which made me
think...
I didn't
catch that line.
Which I'm pretty sure that's what she said. And it made me think, oh, okay, so he did have power before... And then whenever it was revealed he wasn't Ares, I bought into maybe they are playing it up like this isn't Ares doing, this is just man, and this is her big, you know, pivot point where she realizes that man isn't, you know, just driven by the god of war.
Now, one of the things, and I was telling Colin this yesterday, that as I was watching the movie, I was pissed about, but I like how they ended up resolving it, was when she was on Themyscira and her mother was telling her about how she was made from clay and all that, I was pissed that they didn't show that. I thought that would have been a really cool scene. And then when it was revealed at the end that she was actually Zeus's daughter, given to Hippolyta, I was like, oh, that's why they didn't show it. And it really combines the old and the new.
It was also from Azarello's
run. As opposed to the older version where she's made of clay. Because I was thinking, that would be, you know, a good scene to show. Why not do that? Like, what was she thinking? But I thought that worked out well.
Yeah.
The action I thought was good.
Oh, it was great.
Minus a couple of the CGI things. It looked really, really good.
No, everything was great. I mean, I took Adele to go see it, and she freaking loved it from start to finish. And we came here first, so she had like the braces and tiara,
of course. On,
and she wore it, you know, that with her Wonder Woman shirt, and she wore that through the movie. And throughout the movie, anytime there was an action scene, I would like see the corner of my eye. She's in her seat, like mimicking it. She's sitting there, so it's like I'm watching, and there's a 7-year-old next to me that's, you know, bouncing around doing like all the, you know, bracers and punching. And after the movie, we're walking out, and she's like, I don't know if you heard me, but a few times during the movie when she was fighting, I whispered badass. And I was like, I did not hear it, but that is okay.
Yeah, because it was.
Badass.
The other, I've said this, I think, on air before, where my favorite scene in Batman vs. Superman was where she got thrown.
Martha!
And she gets up and smiles. Yeah. And here, Martha. It was exactly the opposite, where she was heartbroken over what had happened. Like, she was losing her innocence. And Gal Gadot got that, and I think portrayed that so well.
Yeah, because, I mean, she's playing a character that does, you know, love, you know, this competition, does love battle when it's necessary.
Right.
Doesn't love that, you know, she's heartbroken.
She enjoys
that,
the battle, not the killing.
She's heartbroken that, you know, these men are doing this to each other. Like, with Doomsday, he's just this big, you know, bad CGI monster.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle,
Don't disparage the Ninja Turtles that way.
Okay, the Michael Bay Ninja Turtle.
Oh, yeah, okay. But yeah, when it's actually like seeing the horrors of war, and like the scene with like when they're walking through and she sees like the horses being whipped, and it's just, yeah, did a really good job.
Patty Jenkins actually said that when they did the reshoots, that was the only scene that they reshot, because they had taken that out, and she really wanted that scene in there.
I was very nervous when I kept hearing, you know, in like the like little press interviews, people talking about how, you know, she's different because she focuses on love and compassion. I was like, oh, this could become cheesy very quickly, but it wasn't. It was done. Mm-hmm. It was done really well.
No,
one thing I was really happy with was we'd seen that. Well, we assumed that one of the Amazons was getting shot. From the one trailer where it showed the bullet going past and the person swinging by, and you just kind of assumed. I'm happy that it wasn't someone important in that scene. It wasn't, you know, the aunt. You know, that was just kind of, okay, that was a throwaway scene, so you know, that made her falling later more impactful because you hadn't seen it happen again.
And I'll tell you, that was something I think DC did much better versus what they did with Batman versus Superman and even Suicide Squad. They didn't give away important plot points this time. You know, even like what we've seen to this point with Justice League, I have a hard time believing they've given away major plot points.
Right. I do want one other thing. That was the first time I'd seen the Justice League trailer on the big screen. It looked much bigger on better on the big screen than on my phone. Mm-hmm.
I don't think a single one of the trailers or TV spots even had Ares in it at all.
No, I don't remember seeing him at all. I don't even remember seeing Sir Patrick in there.
Mm-mm. No, that's what I'm saying, the actor.
Mostly it was just kind of generic action sequences type of thing.
Yeah.
A lot of
and a little bit of her in the dresses. Etta Candy, and yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Etta Candy was great.
Yeah.
The actress who plays her. Gail Simone's fangirling out over her.
She's fangirling out about the whole movie.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Except that she wasn't mentioned in the credits at all. People were up in arms about that.
That Gail Simone wasn't mentioned in the credits?
They had, like, a special thanks to different creators who they pulled
they
stuff from and
stuff
had a big influence on Wonder Woman's, evolution, and she wasn't listed there. And I guess there was a number of things that were kind of pulled from her run, so people were surprised that she wasn't mentioned. Which is kind of a bonehead. Like, you have this big female comic creator who has done a lot with that character. You're toting the whole, like, female-led, female-directed movie.
Yeah.
Maybe you throw a thanks. Or even, like, the different promo posters that DC has had that shows at the bottom the different Wonder Woman trades and graphic novels that people could check out. It doesn't have hers there. Like, there's multiple Rucka ones. There's the Azarella run. There's Perez. But it doesn't have Gail Simone at all.
Huh.
Odd. Great. How about that DC... little, like...
Their new logo?
The logo and all the heroes.
Right.
I like that.
Intro. That was awesome.
I was shocked that they had Hal Jordan.
They had all the Lanterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they featured Hal Jordan.
Right, but I'm saying that in the one, Sam Humphries had a still of it. And in there was Jessica and Simon Baz and Mogo.
Oh, I didn't catch all that.
Yeah.
I guess I have to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah. Sorry. Way to go, Pat.
My wife won't mind. As soon as the movie was over, she turned again. Okay.
No, they needed something like that. Like something similar to Marvel's comic book pages turning into the Marvel logo.
Yeah. I like the DC one a lot better, and I like the new Marvel one.
I don't like the new Marvel one. I love the old Marvel one.
I like the original version of that with when the pages flipped.
Yeah.
It was related to whatever the book was. I thought that was cooler. But
that was cool, but that gets expensive to do every movie, I guess.
I guess. I don't,
CG's not cheap.
No, CG's not cheap, but they're making money.
Yeah, but they can make more money if they just make one that applies to all of them.
I got you.
Yeah. But it was neat. I liked it better.
More better?
That was neither the reason why I did or will not go see a movie, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's...
I don't like that new Marvel
comic
book effect in the beginning. I'm not going
to
go see that movie.
F that.
I understand.
I appreciated the lack of a end credit scene.
Yeah, that was kind of different. When the movie was over, I knew, okay, just get up and leave.
Yeah.
Although after 2.5 hours or 2 hours and 20
minutes, you were ready
to
get up and leave.
I had to go to the bathrooms. I was like, I can't sit through 10 minutes of credits.
Actually, I did in the middle. I forget what I missed.
You got to go to the bathroom in the middle of the movie?
I did.
What?
Was that a pee in my seat?
That's what the seats are there for. They anticipate people are going to do that.
That's why they're extra absorbent.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, we stayed until, like, the normal credits started. Like, we stayed during, like, the credits had, like, the animation stuff behind it.
Okay.
Steve Trevor. Chris Pine was really good in
there. He was really good. Yep. I like how they played it. It was definitely different from Steve Rogers, just in the sense that he was a spy, so he couldn't be super, hey, yeah, I'm the hero. There was a little more...
What was it? She had a line something like... You know, a thief, a killer, and a liar. And then he's like, yeah, I'm all three.
Yeah.
You know, and it was one of... He acknowledges that he's not necessarily the best person, but he's doing it for the greater good.
The ends justify the means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how they...
What's that?
I'm average. No, I'm above average.
Oh, a watch.
No, I like how they bookended it in modern times.
Mm-hmm.
tied it in with Batman, but didn't bring Batman into it.
Yeah. That was the one scene that didn't make sense to me, though.
What?
The what is that scene?
Right, no.
Like, I'm just like, why? I can't believe that they would just let him hang out in this, you know, these hot springs unattended after, you know, he just showed up in our island, and then the ant gets killed, and they have a battle there.
I hear you.
I would assume he would be kind of under lock and key.
Yeah. Although, you know, there could have been guards standing right up. They're not going to stop Diana. She's the princess.
Yeah.
So, you know, she could probably go where she wants.
I might go in and, like, throw a towel on him first.
Yeah.
You want to assault the eyes of the princess. Well, that's Chris Pine. He's a handsome man. You have to admit it, Pat.
I guess.
Captain Kirk, Steve Trevor.
Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan, too. I didn't see that one, but yeah.
No,
it's good. About it.
No, it was good. No, I haven't seen that one either. No, I thought it was real good.
Who's your favorite Jack Ryan?
Probably Harrison Ford, but I'm old school.
Yeah. Harrison Ford is the best Jack Ryan, but Alec Baldwin
did a pretty good job. Yep.
I think Alec Baldwin's movie where he's Jack Ryan is my favorite. Hunt for October.
Really?
I'm not saying I like his version of.
No. I like Hunt for Red October, but I like Clear and Present Danger a lot. But
Clear
that's
and
also
Danger is great.
Has such a good cast.
Has a great cast, but Hunt for October is just such a freaking good movie. Yeah,
I haven't liked Some of All Fears.
Is that the Affleck one?
Yeah, it's Affleck and Morgan Freeman. Yeah. And Sirian Hands is the Russian president.
I haven't seen that one either. I've only seen the Harrison Ford.
That one got buried because it came out like 2 weeks before 9/11.
Oh.
And they like stopped advertising it completely because of it's part of it. There's an attack in Baltimore, a nuclear attack at the Super Bowl being played in Baltimore. So they just stopped. But it's not a great movie, but it was a decent movie. You can watch it.
Got a good beat. You can dance.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're done pining over Chris Pine?
He's not pining.
By the Gail Godot, I thought she was great. Everything.
Yeah.
Acting, fighting, everything. The look, everything was really, really good.
All the people that were all butthurt about her not being the right stature for the role.
Shut up.
I
did enjoy that
now.
Everybody in Themyscira adopted her accent. I thought that was kind of nice of them.
And it didn't sound cheesy or anything.
No. And
Claire Underwood did a good job of talking that
yes.
accent.
There were some people that complained about she was hard to understand, and I didn't think she was hard to
understand at all.
No.
Like, were those people wearing red hats?
Probably.
Well, I love the stuff saying she's not American enough. It's like, you're kind of missing the whole point.
Who said that?
Yeah.
Americans.
Yeah. I don't know who.
She wears red, white, and blue. Wonder Woman is not an American.
Like, her...
Greek or some offshoot.
She has American iconography on her, but she is from an island.
Yeah, in the Mediterranean.
That's Mediterranean.
With lots of other women. Not saying anything, just... She did read a 12-volume book.
That's true.
So, I think we're good on Wonder Woman. We all enjoyed it. So, Pat, you read 3 books.
I did.
What'd you read?
Well, I read Moon Knight.
Nope. Sorry.
See? So we didn't read
Tuning those. Out.
I read Moon Knight.
Oh, go
the
fish.
Final issue. So, it was bittersweet. Because I think it... Jeff Lemire didn't have more of a story to tell, but I really wish he did, because I really enjoyed this run of Moon Knight. It wasn't just he's a clone of Batman, or you know, some of the criticism of Moon Knight. It really wasn't that. I like how at the end he accepts that he will always be who he is.
Yeah.
He'll always have, you know, he'll always be sick, and he accepts it.
I think the book did a great job of really focusing on, like, his mental health issues,
mm-hmm.
and really showing it in a way that does justice to, you know,
the struggle.
The struggle and people that might have real world issues, you know, in the vein of the things he deals with. And that last issue, the way they depicted that worked really well with him essentially, you know, like getting rid of that demon. But not letting it consume him, not letting it drive him anymore, you know, to get rid of it, but still be himself and still be Moon Knight or, you know, Mark Spector.
Well, like, you know, throughout the series he's tried to give up the different personas.
Yeah.
Or, you know, pack them away so he doesn't have to use them. And where I think this worked the best is
he embraced them.
Yeah, it was.
They're not baggage; they're assets.
Yes, exactly. They're different aspects of him. They are a part of him.
Yeah, they're him. He is them.
I guess that means we're not going to see the Toucan Sam version of Khonshu again, which is disappointing. But
until the next writer gets on and they retool it.
Yeah. I like Mr. Knight, but that is not my favorite Moon Knight costume. I'm a bigger fan with the hood.
The hood is...
It's a cooler look.
It's cool, but you know what my problem with the... Well, not my problem, but the reason why I like Mr. Knight better is because the hood, it's a cool look, but just looks like a standard superhero.
Yeah.
Mr. Knight is just a badass, yeah.
I'm disappointed LeMire's done with it. But it was a really, really good series from beginning to end.
Yeah, it was.
And consistent beginning to end. I don't think there was a bad issue of this. And it went 14 issues. So, you know, you got a year plus without a bad issue. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a solid series. And does this mark the end of Lemire's Marvel?
He's still doing Thanos. I don't know if he's still on that or what's going on with that.
Last week, his last two.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
Was Thanos a miniseries?
I don't. But they don't tell us that. I was really surprised.
You don't know. Then no one
Unstoppable knows. Wasp 6 came out, and I looked at the end, and it was continuing. I'm like, wow! I figured that one was done. So you never know until the next issue says the end. Because remember, like, Mockingbird 8 was the last issue of that. Well, great, the first trade was 1-5. So the second one's going to be 6, 7, 8.
She's been very active on Twitter talking about Marvel in the past few days.
Yeah.
I guess she was nominated for an Eisner Award.
And then Marvel didn't send the information. Yeah.
Like, the Eisner Committee tells the publisher, and the publisher's supposed to tell the creator.
Right, so she doesn't have a hotel or anything.
And Marvel didn't say anything about it, didn't talk to her about how, you know, going out there for the awards or anything.
That's kind of messed up.
Yeah, so she was saying, like, the people at Marvel are great. Marvel, the corporation, kind of shitty.
Where have I heard that before?
Yeah.
So, who does like Marvel, the corporation?
Shareholders.
They're Disney shareholders. It's all absorbed.
I know.
And Marvel Comics isn't making Disney shareholders shit. Remember, we had this discussion a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
The second one I read was the Lazarus Contract Special.
Okay.
Did you read that?
I read that.
Yeah. That was good. Coming off the end of that Deathstroke issue, which I thought was excellent.
Yeah.
I like how this ended.
It was good if you're willing to accept that it's not going to make any sense.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like, the whole thing with Robin
killing
Wally into a temporary, like, coma.
He killed him. Stopped his heart.
He didn't actually kill him, though. Like, they didn't do anything to revive him.
No, he did. because that was the whole point. He said he had to kill him in order to break his... Go back and read. He had to kill him in order to break his connection.
He didn't actually kill him. They said, you killed him. He said, no. He used this one move that just temporarily, like, almost puts him in a coma. They said it was enough to disrupt the link, which would break the connection. That's what didn't make sense to me. Because they didn't do anything to revive him. He just all of a sudden...
Right, but at the end, the pacemaker, his heart stopped. If your heart stopped, you're dead.
His heart stopped, but...
Then you're dead.
Your heart can be stopped for a certain amount of time, Pat. If your heart just suddenly stops, you're not dead instantly. They can revive you up until...
Right, they can revive you. Although, if he has a connection to the Speed Force...
But what I'm saying is, like, if he was going to revive at all, then it doesn't make sense, because then Deathstroke could still get those abilities in the future.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they had a real-time link going on between the two of them.
No.
It just didn't make sense to me at all. Like, it was enjoyable to read, and, you know, like, if you just, you know, suspend disbelief, but...
You can't do that.
The story just felt kind of weak, that's all.
Robin's just an asshole. Like, Damian... Damian is an asshole.
Damian's always been an asshole.
Not like
but
this.
Some writers right now, I feel like, are leaning too hard into Damian being a straight-up prick.
Because, like, Super Sons, I don't feel
Super
that way.
Super Sons is appropriate. Like, him and John, like, their banter, it works out. But in Teen Titans, he has been way over the top prick, and...
Well, like, he fires Wally, which I... Who the hell died and made you the leader?
And the thing is, like, everyone else is there, too, and Grayson doesn't agree with him, but yet they still all get on the plane, and no one does anything about it. No one drags Wally with him in case they would need him or whatever.
But, yeah. Well, he doesn't have his powers, so I get that, know. But... You know, I get if they would argue he'd be more of a detriment than a help. Okay, fine, but...
He's being written in that book as too much of a prick.
Even, like, when Raven was having her empathic seizure or whatever it was, they're there. Like, dude, what the hell?
Well, like, that I guess I got a little bit because I could see him being reluctant at first to be emotional, but then he was okay with it. But just like the stuff with...
It's still his teammate.
The stuff with Wally, the stuff with... I don't remember his name in the books. I'm just going to keep calling him Calderon. Aqualad.
Oh, yeah, but it's not Aqualad. It's...
In Young Justice, it's Calderon. His name's Calderon, so... That's what I'm going to... He's drawn exactly like he looks in Young Justice.
Yeah, they gave him a name, but he said he didn't have a code name yet.
Yeah. He's wearing one of Robin's wetsuits.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the way he is with the two of them, it's just way over the top.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they're going back to how Morrison depicted him when he first, you know, brought him onto the scene, and people hated him before he kind of became that snarky but lovable...
Yeah.
You know, jerk.
Part was weird.
I do kind of feel like, I don't know how I feel about this whole pacemaker thing. I feel like they put Wally through enough already.
Yeah.
Like, give Wally a freaking break.
Or unless that's kind of the way to let Wally take a break and maybe spend time with Linda, try to build that up or something. You know, because he can't, but he immediately took off and was still being a Flash, so I don't know how, you know, don't have him exert himself. Okay, how's that going to work? Or maybe he'll become their Oracle? I don't know.
People will be super upset about that.
Oh, I know.
Since they just got him back after all those years.
And I honestly don't like Yellow Wally. He's too...
I don't mind him, but I don't... I'm indifferent about him,
He's not fun. He's not... He's very whiny. Like, I get it.
He works with that team, like, on that team, though. Because they're all kind of...
Emo.
Yeah.
I guess. But even, like, in the Flash book, like, I get it. You know, your father was a reverse Flash. You didn't know it until after he died. Yeah. you know, you thought he was your uncle, you didn't get to have a relationship. I get all that.
I've liked him less in the main Flash book ever since he became Kid Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Like, before that, I kind of liked him, but once he became Kid Flash, I feel like he was... some of the decisions they had to make are a bit weird.
Yeah, going after some of the rogues by himself and all that. Or, no, where he got trapped in the...
yeah.
Whatever that was.
The Speed Force?
Yeah, it wasn't the Speed Force.
He got trapped in the Speed... it was... the other wall that got trapped.
You know, it was like the second...
It was this issue.
It wasn't Abracadabra. It was... well, yeah, in this one, he just went forward into it, and then they all followed him. Or they all...
tried to go cowboy, and...
yeah.
No, it was with... the issue with...
it wasn't Abracadabra.
Abracadabra is whatever. It was Iris and...
yeah.
Yeah, the other one. I know you're talking about. I can't remember.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he makes those types of decisions all the time. Just not a fan. But I liked the story arc for what it was. Yeah.
It was fine. It just, it wasn't, they built it up to be this big epic arc, and I don't feel like it was. I'm curious to see how Deathstroke's going to be handled moving forward.
Yeah, because you just say, I'm done.
Well, I have a feeling that something is going to happen to retcon everything that just happened this last issue. Very quickly, that suddenly makes Deathstroke, you know, a killer again, and it fixes Wally's
pacemaker.
Whether it's, you know, the Titans suddenly try to go back in time and prevent Damian from doing what he did, or I don't know, but we'll see. Deathstroke came out today, so I'll be curious to read it and see what the deal is.
And the last book I read was the Wonder Woman Annual.
That had some really good parts and some okay parts.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the first story.
The Rucka Nicholas Scott story was great.
Yeah,
it was really good.
First meeting between Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. I really liked the Batman and Superman were watching her, and you know, Superman's like, you seem lonely. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Kal-El. I'm Batman. Like, that's how I
really
like
that.
Yeah.
No, that was good. I like the early banter between Batman and Superman, where Superman mm-hmm. is just kind of like gung ho, let's be buds.
Yeah.
And Batman is very
he's not having it.
Yeah, he just doesn't want to give any more than he has to.
Mm-hmm. I thought the rescue of King Shark was okay.
Yeah, I liked that story enough.
I like the art in it.
I like the art. Yeah, that one was fine. The one with the
werewolf
kaiju
thing. The third one was the one with the werewolf thing.
The werewolf one is the one I did not like.
Okay, yeah.
Only because I couldn't see her
killing
him that quickly.
Yeah.
And then saying, I wish it didn't have to come to this. Like, he didn't really try anything else. Could have, knocked him out and then called in the rest of the league.
Taking him to Star Labs or something like that, see if they could cure him. Yeah, there's 100 things you could have done.
So that I didn't care for. The kaiju one was just weird. I like the art. I thought David LaFuente's art was actually decent in that. The story was a bit odd.
Yeah, kaiju, that doesn't belong in a Wonder Woman story like that. Like, not like that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't mind if that's in a Wonder Woman story. That was just a weird,
playing fetch with them.
That
with
part
tree
was weird at the end, of playing fetch, yeah. Which takes them to Dinosaur Island.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, I thought it was okay. I really enjoyed the first story, though. So, all right, that's all I read.
Go ahead, Josh. I'm just in the middle of something.
He's in a flame war.
No, Dan, Dan at Southside is like, what's going to happen on July 4th? Because July 4th is Tuesday. He's like, when are we going to get the books? I said Wednesday. He's like, that's impossible. And I'm like, well, that's how I did it for the first at least 2 or 3 years I was open, if not more. I don't remember exactly when we started getting the books on Tuesday, but I'm like, that's just how it was. You get the books Wednesday, you start opening boxes, and you're running. You're getting them on the shelf, trying to do pulls. It's chaos.
So I guess you have to have everything set up before you leave Tuesday to put them on the shelf, and as soon as everything comes in on Oh, man, that's going to be a real bitch
for me. Yeah, but he's like, it's impossible. There's no way to do it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is how, you know, for me personally, I did it for the first 2 or 3 years I was open. For everybody, you know, older than me, that's just the way it was always done. So, you know, you've had it easy comparatively.
You young whippersnappers.
Exactly, exactly. You know, you had that day early.
Back in my day.
Yeah, so. I'll start.
Yes, sir. Star Trek Waypoint, number 5.
I guarantee we didn't read any of the same. Well, one same book.
Yeah, I'm going to say that one for you.
Okay.
So Star Trek Waypoint has been a neat miniseries. It's an anthology, but each issue is only 2 stories in it. And they focus on different, you know, aspects of the Star Trek universe and canon. So this one had an original series themed story and a DS9 theme story. And the original series one really didn't focus on the characters from, like, the main characters at all. They were only there very briefly in the beginning because they are shuttling this ensign to her new posting at this research station where this doctor's there observing this native civilization. And the doctor's trying to observe without violating the Prime Directive, not getting involved. And the doctor's played it, like, you find out she's very obsessive about her research, and it's not a very, the post is a very lonely post because the doctor really is just concerned about the research, so that whoever her assistant is really kind of just fend for themselves the whole time. Well, the ensign discovers the doctor creating, like, this very intricate, you know, mask or costume of the you know, indigenous people, and thinks it's just, you know, just art, but then discovers later on that the doctor is planning to wear this to try and blend in with the civilization that came together for this, like, mating ritual, almost. Like, normally the males and the females aren't together at all. So she goes to blend in, but the ensign discovers her, says she's going to report her, but then when the doctor kind of asks her for her help, she sees as a way to kind of, you know, bond with this, with the doctor who's doing the research. So she goes along with it, and something goes very wrong, and she ends up getting attacked. Like, she's discovered as being an imposter. She gets attacked. The ensign is about to violate the Prime Directive and shoot at these indigenous peoples. But then the doctor, she's being beaten to death, says, no, you know, don't shoot, so that way they don't, it's not revealed who they actually are and their technology. And just, you know, shows how even when she was dying, she wanted to maintain that's, you know, not disturbing anymore that she already has and maintain a Prime Directive. It was a neat story. I liked it quite a bit. The other one, this Deep Space Nine story, focused on Dr. Bashir, and is right after he got to the station and all the things he had to initially get used to with being a doctor out in the, you know, frontier of space. It wasn't bad. That story was good too. It wasn't as good as the first one. The art in both the stories was a bit shaky. That's the one thing I think has been going against the Star Trek Waypoint miniseries so far, is the art has not been... I can't think of a single issue where the art was really, like, stand out great. But otherwise, the stories overall have been kind of neat. And Judge Dredd, Blessed Earth, number 2. So, this is...
Did you get the Funko one?
I did. Okay. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, okay, though. This is taking place 10 years after the previous series, where we have Mega City Zero, which is 1,000 years in the future from, you know, the normal Judge Dredd timeline. So he is trying to reestablish civilization and bring the law back, and they are training judges. And Judge Hershey is back. Judge Anderson's back. Judge Anderson's now the chief judge. And Judge Dredd, do you know?
That I don't know. I've never read a Judge Dredd book.
How the hell do you own a comic book store? You never
read. I just never really read Judge Dredd. I saw the movie. Which not one? The Stallone, the second one.
Oh.
The
Carl Urban.
The Bones one, yeah.
Yeah, Carl Urban.
I'm gonna say this. While it is not a good Judge Dredd movie, I do enjoy the Stallone Judge Dredd movie.
Okay.
It is
fostered your love of Dredd.
I don't know.
Rob Schneider, there's something about him.
It reminds me of Demolition Man.
Yeah.
And I love Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that's Martha Kent in there as Judge Hershey.
Diane Lane.
I think it's Diane Lane in that movie, isn't it? With Stallone?
Oh, that one I don't know. I've never seen it. I was going to say it was Cersei is in Carl Urban.
Yeah, Mama Clan.
Yeah. That movie's fantastic.
Yeah.
But this starts off, we find out that someone did something to Dredd, and Dredd's skeleton has been removed from his body.
That's a problem.
Yeah. So he is being...
stolen?
Yeah.
That has to be a crime.
It is a crime. So he is being kept alive with...
See the law.
He's the law. With this technology, but he only has a year to kind of...
grow a skeleton?
Get things back in order. And as he's going around trying to, bring the law back and trying to get everyone in line and deal with cadets, and people are talking about him, almost as if he is like this, you know, mythical thing. At the same time, there's this people trying to throw chaos into the mix and get rid of the law by, planning these chemical weapon attacks.
It was Diane Lane.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay. But it was good. This has been a good take on Judge Dredd, and it was a neat way for them to take him out of the normal, you know, Mega City 1 environment and do something different with the character, with the last series and with this series now, too, which managed to be a little bit less weird than the previous, the Mega City 0 series. Brings some elements back from, you know, traditional Judge Dredd stories, but still... you know, being this new, you know, world where it's very much Wild West. So, Colin?
Me?
You?
Okay, I read Secret Empire 3. Anyone? Adam read it, and then he bails on us. What a guy. So, just continuing the story. I feel a little, I took it home to read again. I had read it previously on a PDF, which was really hard to read because it was heavily watermarked, and also most of the book is two-page spreads, which is really hard to read in that format. But just the resistance is beginning. They're starting to work to try to figure it out. Black Widow is putting together a team, and then that continues into Secret Empire Uprising, where she is basically getting the champions and trying to infiltrate Hydra. So she gets, I believe it's Totally Awesome Hulk and All New Wasp to try to join the Hydra Youth Choir. And, so...
there's nothing you said there that...
So, they get in.
Are they gonna find the secret diary of some character?
I don't know.
Gwen Stacy, perhaps?
Maybe, I don't know. Deadpool 31 was a Secret Empire tie-in. And this had Deadpool being given a mission by Steve Rogers to take somebody out, and it turns out it was Agent Coulson. And in this one, Deadpool kills off Phil Coulson, so...
what?
Goodbye, Phil.
He's going to Tahiti again?
He is. He is.
More and more, I'm thinking someone's going to wake up, and this is all going to be a dream.
Yeah. I don't know, the choir was really important. It had the choir master was the big bad.
There's nothing more intimidating than a choir master.
Cable, number one, was interesting. My only problem with it was I felt it was just a little thin on story, and there really wasn't any explanation of who he was, what he was, his thing. It starts in the Wild West, and you're sitting around a bar, and these guys have taken over the town. And all of a sudden, Cable shows up because he's looking for somebody. Well, the guy was here and left, but he left these guys with, like, future tech guns. And they start shooting him at him. And then the next scene is he's taking them all out, and he has one guy upside down who he's interrogating. And I'm like, wait, they're shooting these laser blasters at him. He's just a guy. He can't absorb these blows and things like that. But they just kind of glossed over that. And then he jumps to another time where there's these guys with these fancy, like, plasma swords or something. And they actually manage, they cut off his robot arm, and then he's unconscious at the end. So it wasn't bad. It just was a little thin on, story. There was a lot of setup, but it also, if you hadn't read Cable before, you didn't really get any idea of who he was or what he did. So not bad. I just thought it was just a little bit thin.
I'm actually surprised you're bringing out a Cable book.
Well, he's going to be in the next Deadpool movie.
That's why I'm surprised.
I think they're jumping on. I think they're just trying to jump on that news.
Yeah, but that seems to be the opposite with the way they go with everything else.
Then I read Generation X2. I was not a big fan of number one. I didn't feel they really explained again who all these characters were. People have been telling me they're from Wolverine and the X-Men. I'm like, well, that's great. That ended a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, to be, you know, honest. That definitely ended before. It was funny. I was talking with somebody today, and he's like, well, it hasn't been that long since a Fantastic Four book. I said, Secret War.
2 years?
And I said, that was 2 years ago. He's like, no way. I'm like, yeah.
So,
well, it ended 2.5 years ago. It began 2 years ago. Or ended 1.5 years ago. But, because it went so long. But it was fine. It kind of wrapped up the storyline. They were getting attacked by the purifiers, and it has all the guys respond, and they take out the purifiers and all. But again, just a lot of characters just kind of thrown out there who you don't know exactly what they're doing. That was the only thing. And I'm not a big fan of the art. But not bad, just needs a little. I mean, I feel that, you know, they need to retake Stan's advice. You know, every issue is somebody's first. Well, especially with the beginning of a story, you really should explain who all these people are. So, and then the last one I have is Flash 23. I ordered big on this one, figuring I sold a boatload of the Flash tie-in with Batman, and there might be, you know, some residual, gosh, that Flash was good, I'll stick with it. And I was rewarded.
It was really good.
It was a good story, and I think a lot of people went into it. I also told a lot of people about it, in the sense of it continued on the button as far as Flash's story and repercussions. It dealt with him and Reverse Flash and trying to figure out what all happened there.
People that weren't buying Flash before the button stick with this issue?
Well, this, I sold more of this one than I did of, what, 20?
Okay.
So there was definitely an uptick. There was people who, you know, they you know, where can I get more button story? This isn't necessarily button,
yeah,
but it's definitely continuing on the Flash story part.
That's
of that.
That's good.
So that was good. You know, like, if you hadn't been reading the stuff with Wally, might have been a little confusing. Why does Wally hate him stuff? He hasn't revealed, you know, wait, Flash hasn't revealed to Iris who he is on the TV show. He's revealed to, I think, everybody, including the guy selling him coffee. So little things like that, I think, may have been just a little bit confusing. But no, I thought it was real good. And this was the prelude in the next issue, which is kicking off the main story arc. So that's all I read. Now, I did just get a tweet from James, which was kind of funny. So we will answer to James. And I need to do this more. I know Comics Conspiracy does it. And I need to do it more. I just, Wednesdays are a mishmash, keeping my head together. But they ask for questions on Twitter so that then they can answer. So here is James' question. How would the podcast crew describe their feelings about Flintstones ending? Sad or very sad?
Very sad.
Having read it, I'll say sad. I really liked how it wrapped up. I think Russell definitely wrote a 12-issue arc It doesn't really leave anything hanging. It's, they don't kill everybody off or anything like that, but it definitely it wraps up. It was good. So, and I'm ready for more of him. I was going to tweet, and I didn't quite know how to do it, so I didn't do it. But I was going to say he will always have shelf space in my store. I really appreciate him as a writer. He does a really good job. This was a really good issue.
I will pick up whatever book he's doing and, and at least give it a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's doing the Snagglepuss right. Yeah, I am curious.
You're a big fan about Gothic poets.
Yeah, I am.
I can tell that about you, Pat. So, I think that's all we got. Short, sweet. Might actually get out of here before it's dark, which is a shock. Which is cool.
What's coming out next week?
Hey! Good thing you saw me pick up the invoice, Pat. Next week, solid week. It's funny. I like a 5-week month only because, you know, an extra Wednesday is nice. You know, yeah. But man, they were a couple lean Wednesdays. So it's nice getting back to solid Wednesdays. So we have coming out next week. I mean, there's tons of stuff. So again, I only really point out the special things. But like Betty and Veronica #3. Woo! They said it would never come. Bitch Planet triple feature. This is interesting. This is a book that's notoriously late. So this is a special written by and drawn by other people in the Bitch Planet universe.
They were getting ready.
What, for Betty and Veronica?
No.
Oh.
Bitch Planet.
Oh, Bitch Planet. Okay.
They were just getting ready.
Okay. Briggsland is coming back. Lone Wolves revisiting the one about the secessionists. Bug the Adventures of Forager #2 coming out next week. I don't know what happened in #1, but I enjoyed it. So.
It was weird.
It was. Captain America Sam Wilson next week is a Secret Empire crossover or tie-in. Dark Days the Forge obviously is coming out next week.
But you pick that up Tuesday.
You can. Deadpool 32 Secret Invasion Secret Empire tie-in. Can't pick that up Tuesday. Defenders #1. I know everybody's excited. It's the TV team. It's Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones.
I was thinking Defenders of the Earth. You know, Mandrake, the Magician, and Flash Gordon. No. That would have been better.
Next issue of Flash, continuing on this story, so hopefully it is good still. Jimmy's Bastards. Now, this is one. This is Garth Ennis and Russ Braun. Russ Braun did probably at least half of the Boys. Derek Robertson did the beginning, but then Russ Braun took over when Derek... got onto some other projects, but it's basically Garth Ennis's take on James Bond, so should be fun. This one is from Aftershock. Kaiser Soze Scorched Earth #1. This was a Free Comic Day book, the little preview of this. I think it's from Red 5, but basically Kaiser Soze from the Usual Suspects. I think it's telling his story before Usual Suspects. Kid Sherlock, just fun, that's from Action Lab. Kill the Minotaur is retelling Theseus's story versus the Minotaur. This is an Image book. And then the fun stuff begins. Legion of Superheroes Bugs Bunny special is next week, as is Martian Manhunter Marvin the Martian special. Those are both next week. There's also a Mad About Trump trade paperback, which is all the mad articles about Trump for the last while. Yeah, that is spectacular. It's Tula Lotte's Wonder Woman Mondo print. Wow. Yeah.
Which sold out instantly.
Yes. Mother Russia is coming. That's one of the dollar and a half ones from Alterna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was an A. Normandy Gold is the next one in the line of the Hard Case Crime from Titan. Planet of the Apes Green Lantern. I know Josh is enjoying that one. Yeah, this was 5. I'm going to guess it's going
that
to 6.
One at the same with the other one.
No,
with the
they're a little off. Manner. Another one for Josh, Rye, History of the Valiant Universe, which I love is one of one. Regression, getting #2 along with Second Prince of #1. That was an interesting Cullen Bunn one.
With Rye, if you are a Valiant like fan, reading a lot of this stuff, Adam and I asked Rafe Roberts at Three Rivers Comic Con if that was mainly just for new readers to get them caught up, or if there were things for, you know, long-time readers, and he said there were a lot of things in there for long-time readers as well.
Does he love you long time?
Wow.
Okay, Secret Empire #4 is next week. Secret Empire United #1 next week. Secret Warriors #3 is a Secret Empire tie-in. Trespasser number one. This is another one of the Alterna books. $1.50, so give it a shot. Uncanny Avengers 24 is a Secret Empire tie-in. We have Venom 151, see more of the adventures of Eddie Brock. Weapon X number 4 will be continuing the Weapons of Mutant Destruction storyline. Winnebago Graveyard, this is one from Image, this is Steve Niles. Family goes on a road trip and ends up in a town they shouldn't be in. Wonder Woman 24 should probably do pretty good the week after Wonder Woman. And then X-Men Blue. The X-Men stuff has been doing quite well. People have really been enjoying it. So those are the big, those are the highlights. There's, you know, lots of regular stuff. Action, detective, all that kind of fun stuff. So don't forget the midnight release party that I'm going to have to figure out how to coordinate that.
They won't forget. You did.
Yeah, I didn't forget. I knew about that. I knew about the concert. I just didn't necessarily put it together. It happens. Jeez, back off. Also at book club at the end of the month, I have more of the Wonder Woman book coming in. It is Wonder Woman month all month long. So double points on all Wonder Woman trades, and I stocked up, so I got a lot. But we also sold a ton on Saturday, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Saturday was great. Really exciting. I still got to get the pictures up. I took pictures of all the girls and their stuff, and they really...
Some of the boys.
Adam had the TR on, yeah. On top of his hat, which was a little weird.
It makes him feel powerful.
It does. It made him feel pretty. He was happy.
Yeah, but, I mean... I get it.
That's about all. You can find me websites pittsburghcomics.com. I got to do some updates on that.
Yeah, because it still says Warren Ellis
month. Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It did.
Ooh,
this morning.
Josh fixed it.
I fixed it days ago.
When I was on there this morning, it still said Warren Ellis month.
Okay. Refresh your cookies, Pat.
Ooh.
Toss my cookies.
Wow. Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram under just PGH Comics. My goal this summer is to get a lot more on social media, so please keep an eye out there for me. I'll be out there trying to get a lot more content and stuff up. That's about it.
Browsing data.
That's about it. So, Josh.
Me?
You.
Well, that is a podcast.
We will talk to you next week, maybe. If it goes to Game 7 will be Wednesday. We will not have a podcast.
Unless Pat and Adam want to do the podcast.
Yeah, no. So.
Why would you subject me to that?
We will talk to you next week. See ya.